sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
4071, you think 30 guys could play quarterback? That's moving the goalposts. No one said anything about the quarterback position. No one said quarterback. 0002 said Shannon Sharp. Did Shannon Sharp play Division I college basketball?
Shannon Sharp went to a very, very small school.
Did he play college basketball? I don't remember.
That I don't know.
I don't know. 2541 says, look at Stroud. I think Stroud's a really good case for Austin Rivers. C.J. Stroud said that he would, at best, get 5 points in an NBA game. In fact, C.J. Stroud said he stopped playing basketball because he knew he was better at football. You can make a case that a lot of football players are failed basketball players. That was their first love. They weren't as good as in basketball as they were in football, so they converted over to football. Cam Whitmore says 2971. I've never seen Cam Whitmore like play football, so
I don't know. But I think he'd get a tryout.
Probably because he's thick and runs pretty well.
Right. Yeah, as a kid that's 19 years old that's filled out like that, that has that athleticism, I think there were teams that would look at him.
3209, don't get the Texans the option to draft a dual-sport athlete after the mess of Kahale. How was it? Kahale Waring? Was it Kahale? I can't remember how to pronounce
Kahale
his first name.
I thought it was Waring. Yeah,
he played like volleyball and lacrosse and like water polo. I think he played multiple sports, though.
Water polo was the one that got a bunch of attention.
Yeah, what a weird one. This texter says, let me pull it up, it went slow. It says Dallas drafted a basketball player from Baylor, I think, and never saw the field. Guy was a beast. I don't know if they drafted him. I think he was an undrafted free agent. I think it was Mark Vidal. I think he was on the national championship team. I think he was the power forward.
Was it Paris?
It might
something
have
or other. Something. Yeah, there were recent in the last, I would say in the last 7 to 10 years, Dallas had a Baylor, a big man that they tried to make into a tight end.
I think it was Mark Vitale from Baylor.
There was a different one.
Maybe there was a different one. Yeah. But Vitale was one of them. Because he won a national championship, didn't have the size to play in the NBA, and they moved him over to the NFL. Like the NFL or NBA rejects is what it is. 713.
Iverson was an all-state quarterback in high school.
Yeah. Didn't play college, though.
No.
Didn't play college, though. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Sammy, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. First time calling in. So I know that, you know, the conversation's going around how many players can go from one sport to the other, but I think that the argument that he made in the beginning of his thing was about which league has more overall athleticism. And I think, yeah, the conversation about who can play, you know, most transition from one league to another is one thing, but overall athletes, the NFL undeniably has better overall athletes. I think when you talk about transitioning from one sport to another, it's more of a skill set that's limited versus an actual talent level. It's kind of like baseball. Baseball, you know, you can be an ultimate athlete, but if you've never picked up a bat and swung in your life, you're not going to step in and hit against major league pitching.
Yeah.
Anybody as an athlete can step in and play football, but it takes a very unique skill set to play basketball, right? It's something you've got to practice over time. But athleticism overall, football all day.
It depends.
It depends on how you measure the athleticism.
Yeah, it's a good call, Sam. It's a good conversation. And you're right. Like, go look at Will Anderson swing a softball bat. Like, baseball can be the great equalizer a lot of times. Because if you look at dual sport athletes that played baseball in another sport, usually their worst sport is baseball. Baseball can be an equalizer when it comes to athleticism. Now, it depends on how you're defining athleticism. Like, if you're just going 40 times, okay, you probably win there. But if you're going verticals, I bet you the NBA guys jump higher than the NFL guys. And then if you're combining size with that athleticism, how many guards in the NBA are under 6'4"? Very, very few. You have guys that are 6'7". They might not run as fast as Tyreek Hill and corners in the NFL, but they jump higher than them, sometimes twice as high as them.
Strength, you got something.
Strength, NFL.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would be something that the NFL would definitely. Now, the quick twitch, that's a good conversation to have because, you can say that the receivers and the corners got to have quick twitch, but how much quick twitch do you have to play in the NBA on
a
every
lot.
Play? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a different athleticism, but I also agree with him with the skill set. And I think that's the divider here of why, like, if you look at dual sport athletes from football and basketball, where they're low, like, they played at least college football, basketball. So that's what qualifies them as a dual sport. We're not going to go like high school superstar, but didn't play basketball at the next level. Dual sport, and we're qualifying it with you had to have at least played a minimum of college, preferably like D1. Mm-hmm. And if you look at those dual sport athletes, those dual sport athletes have far more success in football than they do in basketball. And to Sam's point, I do think it's part of the skill set, like dribbling the ball takes some hand eye. Shooting the basketball it's a very skillful act. So I do think that's the divider, is the skill in the NBA versus the NFL. Like, yes, it's more than asking a defensive end just to get around the tackle and go sack the quarterback, but how much more? Like, some of that is nuance that can be taught, right?
Yeah, it's like the quarterback argument is that's the most skilled gift, and you need to be the most gifted and be able to put it all together to have the intelligence and the skill and the specified skill sets to be a quarterback, because you have to have accuracy in the way you throw the ball. That's the closest to like shooting, because when you think about it, yeah, it doesn't matter how strong and how quick you get off the line and how fast you are. You have to be able to do specific skills at a very, very high level. Like, even if you don't shoot the three well, you have to make free throws. You have to be able to put the ball in the basket. You have to be able to guard people.
Yeah. Like a prime Shaq. You don't think NFL teams would be salivating over that?
Put him in the middle of the defensive line?
You'd be salivating over Shaq in the NFL? Do you think they'd be, let's see, who is, do you think they'd be salivating over Christian McCaffrey in the NBA?
I see his name came up on a list, but
he's athletic.
No.
Played basketball in high school.
Who are some other really top running backs? Joe Mixon on the NBA floor. Like, there are basketball guys that really tempt you as football players. There's not a whole lot of football players that tempt you on the basketball
floor. You brought up a big man. Let's stay here in Houston. I mean, can you imagine what NFL teams would want to do with Akeem?
My goodness.
Oh, my God.
The athlete that he was, the size that he had.
He'd be a defensive end for me.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. He'd be a defensive end. Go get the quarterback. Your speed, your quickness, his little dream shake, spin move to the QB.
Exactly.
You kidding me? It's translatable, and I've never even seen him on a football field.
I think he'd be like a tight end, too, because
his
hands were great.
Could be.
He was so athletic when he could run in the open field.
Those are the two positions that have, like, dual sport, football, basketball. We see more tight ends. Some defensive ends, Julius Peppers. 3-8-9-7, nobody's playing quarterback or offensive line. Okay, well, again, you're moving the goalpost. Nobody said positions. That said, the Houston Texans had Fant last year, who played Division I basketball. This texter says that announcers during the NCAA tournament said DJ Burns from NC State could make an NFL team, but could not play professional basketball. Well, he hasn't signed with an NFL team. I think he can play professional basketball, not in the NBA, but overseas.
Yes.
But no one's making that, like, no one's watching the Fiesta Bowl and is looking at the right tackle and be like, that guy translates to the NBA, but you have a big guy with good, like, agility. That guy has a shot.
I'm not going to lie. With as big as he is, when I saw him in the ACC tournament, the first thing I did was I started Googling him on to go, did he ever play football? Because to have the footwork that he has at his size, every NFL guy has to be looking at him going, oh, I think we should probably see if he might be interested in at least taking a trial.
There were reports from Peter Schrager, I believe Albert Breer, who were saying
ESPN
that he could get looks
too
at left tackle for teams.
Yeah, because of his agility and his size. LeBron would be one heck of a defensive end or linebacker. I would put him on, of those two positions, defensive end for me. Like, go get the quarterback.
I'm going to put him on the offense because I think he'd be tough to bring down and he's going to get away from most guys.
During his prime.
Yep.
Like, during his prime.
Yeah, no doubt. I mentioned this to you guys in the break, but the Rockets had a guy, Thomas Hamilton. Murph nicknamed him Two Sandwiches back in the day because he was two sandwiches short of 300 pounds. He was 7 foot tall. He played quarterback at King High School in Chicago. And we always used to laugh going, can you imagine being the sore soul on the other team that had to try and tackle a guy 7 foot 280 playing quarterback?
That would be tough. Not fun. The skills in football can be taught quickly. Elite shooting can't be taught quickly. I don't think it can ever be taught, quite frankly. Like,
the case to be made for the only two cases, because I agree with you, the only two cases I've seen it work, Tim Gergovich, there was the longtime George Karl assistant. He taught Jason Kidd, who came into the league without a jump shot.
But longtime basketball player.
Like. Yeah, but I mean, he taught him a 3-point shot, which no one thought you could do. And Lonzo Ball and some of the Ball kids into 3-point shooters where I never thought they could be.
And those guys were dribbling a basketball since they were 3 or 4 years old and had skills to immediately be in the NBA. Like, could you imagine teaching Nico Collins, here's a jump shot. Like, let's go make you an elite NBA 3-point shooter. 9789, Kyemi Fairbairn is a lock for an NBA roster. Unbelievable range. Charlie Ward, we mentioned Charlie Ward played in the NBA. With the two, and if you guys have more, I would love to hear the dual sport athletes that played at least college athletics in both sports. Maybe they played minor league baseball, whatever. Dual sport athletes that played football, basketball. Tell me the best one that played basketball. Because the only two I can think of are Charlie Ward and Nate Robinson. I think those are the two best basketball ones. The best football ones blow those guys out of the water. It's not even close. Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers. It's not even close. 713-780-ESPN.
Total Dallas brought up the guy I was trying to think of that Dallas drafted that was a basketball player. Rico Gathers.
Oh, yeah. I do remember Rico Gathers
now.
That
was the one I was thinking
of. So they tried it twice. They did with – because I do remember Gathers now. And then Vital. I don't think Vital made it very long, though. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to Roy and Humble. Roy and Humble, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, guys. First off, those guys that you named, those guys were definitely football players. They were football players that just happened to play basketball. But I will say this, just knowing a lot of football players, a lot of basketball players in college and everything else, football players are by far the better athletes. One, they squat like crazy. So those little guys that you know that you're talking about,
They're
dunking on everybody. They can jump like higher than most average people. That don't play basketball. Now, I don't think that you can just go in and just be a basketball, professional basketball player. But when you talk about just pure athleticism, man, football players are freak shows, man. I used to play basketball with Sean Rogers. Guy was in at 300 pounds. He used to be 360s like it was nothing. You know what I'm saying? So these guys, the football guys are freak shows. And the way they work out, it lends to them being super athletic and being able to jump and stuff like that. But, like, going and just being a basketball player, I don't think that would ever happen. I ain't going to listen.
Appreciate the call, Roy. Like, again, we're moving the goalposts of the conversation. Like, no one's denying that football players are terrific athletes.
Athletes, right.
We're talking about, and I didn't, like, I heard the clip here of Austin Rivers saying that he could drop 30 NBA guys into the NFL. I believe that to be true. And I agree with Austin Rivers that you couldn't drop 30 NFL guys into the NBA. I do not believe that to be true.
This is an extension of Micah Parsons winning the MVP of the celebrity game and then boasting that he could average 20 a game in the NBA.
Yeah.
And not being realistic in the great divide between a celebrity all-star game with a 20-point shot or whatever the hell and both sexes playing on the court to translating that to playing NBA basketball at the highest level the game is played and one just saying that you could play it on the same level of those guys, but to say you could average 20,
no,
that's unrealistic.
Bo Jackson didn't play hoops. Good example to support your argument is J.J. Watt. Good length, great wingspan, good mobility and quickness. Do we really think he would dribble a basketball well? No. There's videos of Watt playing high school basketball. I don't think that J.J. Watt could start on a 6A playoff team in the city of Houston.
I agree.
I don't think he could. 4071, I agree you named those Hall of Fame players to basketball were not great at basketball. You're making the NFL argument. No, I'm not. I'm making the basketball player argument because you had mediocre basketball players that couldn't make it in the NBA that became Hall of Fame NFL players. Dual sport athletes have better success in the NFL over the history of sport. It's a fact.
The closest one to actually making the NBA was Gonzalez because even while he was playing in the NFL, the Heat had him on their summer league team 2 years in a row. Riley thought that he could be a role player on the Heat.
That's funny.
Yeah. He gave him roster spots on their summer league team 2 years in a row.
Who?
Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, well, okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was okay. I read a text saying Tony Romo. I was like, what are you talking about?
Tony Gonzalez.
Confused. Yes.
Yep.
I do remember that about Gonzalez. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Ray, Carl, we'll get your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is, it's okay. But if you've been losing your hair, you've got pattern baldness, thinning, and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you're sitting there and you're depressed, you're thinking about shaving it off or figuring out if there's anything else that you can do to save the day, like all the gimmicky stuff, the sprays, creams, and foams, I'm here to tell you there's another solution. It's called the NeoGraft procedure. Doc is the best in the business at doing it. And you can check out everything about it and see if it might be right for you without ever taking any money out of your pocket or signing a contract or making any kind of a commitment, just by going to 975hair.com. You go to 975hair.com and you can figure out all the information about the NeoGraft, but then you can sign up for a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150 for people off the street. Because you listen to us and you hear about him and you're interested, you get the consultation for free. Go in and ask questions. It costs you nothing. You have nothing to lose and you have hair to gain. What I learned by my consultation was, and that was the game changer, first and foremost, you're never going to lose the hair genetically on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how much you lose hair elsewhere. I had no idea of that. And when he told me that the follow-up was, of the hair that he's going to take from that area where it's never going to go away and he's going to repurpose it and plant it where you need it most, 95 to 99% of those follicles are going to stay. And because they're in a place, coming from a place where they're never going to go away, they're going to grow, get stronger and longer, and they're going to be with you for the rest of your life. That was the game changer for me. That's why I did the procedure. That's why I couldn't be happier about it. And that's why I'm telling you about it today. You can be the next in line to do the procedure. Get the information. Go to 975hair.com right now. Sign up for that consultation. Go in, ask questions, get answers, let them explain it to you, and see if it might be the game changer that you need that I already had. I can't speak highly enough about them because I got the results. You can be the next in line to do the same. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
4071 says Parsons vertical 35 inches, Anthony Edwards 41. That's not double. I didn't say every single player. I said in some cases. Let's see what Laramie Tunsil's vertical is. I bet you it's not 20. Titus Howard, do you have a 20-inch vertical?
No.
I don't think that he does. It's kind of nitpicky, whatever. Cherry picking a little bit, I guess. 50-10, this is so stupid. How many basketball players could go play golf? It's all about the skills that you practice and are good at to get out there. Agreed. I agree with that. I think basketball has more skill than certain football positions.
Sure. I think that that's the biggest thing. I mean, when you think about it, and people are saying, you know, big men in the NFL could go into the NBA and defend. But even saying that, there were big men. You don't understand how difficult it is to defend in the NBA when you think of guys that, like Taco Fall, he's 7 foot, and he can do all these things. And even in college, he was above average. In the NBA, it's at a different level. He didn't make a team. He made a team like in the G League and back and forth as a two-way player. The NBA is so skilled every single position you play. It's not like the NFL. Well, yeah, there's skill involved in it. And I'm not arguing that who's a better overall athlete. Mm-hmm. But the specified skill and how honed in you have to be in basketball is every player on the court as opposed to quarterbacks and receivers and things like that.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Carl, you're in the Hive. What's up, Carl? Carl?
Carl, go.
You're there, Carl. Nope, Carl's gone. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. Call back, Carl. We'll get you to the front of the line. None of them could play hockey. Facts. None of them.
There's
could
a lot
hockey.
Of people that would tell you that overall, in terms of endurance athletes, soccer and hockey get disrespected.
Yeah, certain positions on the soccer field. I mean, you're running multiple miles in a match.
Yeah.
The hockey's tough because you have to learn how to skate.
True.
Like that's a very nuanced thing that is very. I mean, I guess it's not tough for them. They've been doing it forever. 1509, Deion Sanders mentions hitting a baseball was tougher than playing corner. I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They say, a lot of people say that hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do in sport. All right, let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Carl's back. Carl and Beaumont, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Yeah, let me give this another shot. Three names, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, all college basketball players, would never play in the NBA, but may all be Hall of Famers in football. So I think that's one thing to put out there. The other part is I'm definitely going NBA because the guys in the NBA don't get a break as often as the guys in pro football and the NFL teams. When you see a guy run 50, 60 yards, he goes and gets oxygen about half the time. The guys in the NBA are never, hardly ever get a break. Yeah, they get to sit down occasionally, but very few people run, jump, forwards, backwards. As you guys mentioned, the offense is constant athleticism, and then the defense is constant athleticism. And while I'm a true NFL fan, I think the argument for the NBA guys is it's NBA hands down.
And again, I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Carl.
And again, I'm not arguing athletes. Talking about right. Austin Rivers says that 30 NBA players could be in the NFL way before 30 NFL players could be in the NBA, which, again, I agree with. And Carl brought up some examples of why I agree with that. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Ray, you're in the Hive. Ray from Kingwood.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to mention Frank Thomas, who I think probably could have played football, basketball, or baseball on the pro level. He played football and baseball at Auburn.
Yeah.
Obviously not enough hours in the day to do all three sports. But anyway, he was a dominant high school player in all three.
Yeah, Frank Thomas, I knew about football and baseball. I don't know if he could play basketball or not. But when you think about Frank Thomas, Bo Jackson, and Barkley were all at Auburn at the same time. That's silly. And Bo played baseball, football, and track. I don't know if Frank Thomas did track, but he did two sports.
Barkley's easily the worst athlete of the three.
He
I think he is.
He kind of is.
I mean, he was a sick athlete.
He was doughy. Obviously. Well, he was doughy at all. He was never really tightened up.
Great athlete. But Frank and definitely not better than Bo.
Bo's
one of the top five athletes ever.
But, okay, so this is a story I'll give you because it backs up the fact that even NFL guys would take NBA guys because you mentioned Barkley. You say he's the worst athlete of all of them. I was a fly on the wall to a conversation that got to be an argument that Tony Romo started one night with all the guys at the Tahoe Golf Tournament about who could play what sport. And there was a mass, and there was, Romo questioned if Jordan could play in the NFL. And Jordan said, I absolutely could. And Romo was like, what are you talking about? He took a piece of paper, he put his hand down, he traced his hand. He said, you see that? It fit the entire page on. He goes, you don't think I'd catch a football? And Romo said, how fast were he? He goes, fast enough. I could catch anything that moves. And then they said, you think Charles could play? And LaDainian Tomlinson took Charles and said, get down in a three-point stance. And he got down in the middle of a casino. And LaDainian Tomlinson got behind him and said, I'd run behind this guy every single down, and I would trust that he could block for me.
Yeah, I think
Charles Barkley could be a fullback.
I think he'd be a tight end, too.
Good.
Because he is an underrated athlete. Like, people look at his doughiness and think he's not an athlete. I was just having some fun because he's with the company of Bo Jackson.
You think the Joker?
I don't know about that one. He's a little slow.
He is, but it depends on what position he played.
I mean, obviously, he'd have to play offensive line. There's not another position the Joker could play other than offensive line.
You don't think he played tight end?
Not really. I think he's too slow.
Boy, but skill-wise, because he can run up and down the court. He's got good hands.
Yeah, I think he's a little slow.
Okay.
I think he's a little slow. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to Joe in Porter. Joe, you're in the Hive of the Bees.
What's going on? How you guys doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to make a couple of quick points, maybe, and then I'll hang up and listen. But I would say that I think that LeBron James, for one, would be the NBA player that, you know, excelled in the NBA but also played football. But the only thing is he didn't get the chance to play in college because he was able to get drafted into basketball out of high school. And as we know, NFL doesn't do that. But also, secondly, I accepted your challenge to find that dual sport athlete that excelled in the NBA. Pat Riley was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the 11th round in 1967. So I'll just hang up and listen.
That's Someone texted that. I did not know that. I know that Riley was actually originally drafted by the Rockets.
Yeah.
In basketball.
I think he had a couple of years with the Rockets, too. But I think they were whenever they were in San Diego.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he was drafted.
I did not either.
He didn't play. Okay, so it says, despite the fact that he had not played college football, Riley was also drafted as a wide receiver by the Dallas Cowboys. And he didn't play.
I bet you it was like a Gil Brandt move. Gil Brandt was one of the pioneers of looking at just guys.
You know what this was? This was a football general manager that looked at basketball players saying, oh my goodness, what talent that guy has. I bet you this has a chance of translating on the football field. He never played it down in college.
So Carol Dawson used to have that conversation with us a lot. And I had Carol Dawson, before he was general manager of the Rockets, worked for the Dallas Cowboys under Gil Brandt. And they were looking for athletes that could play you know, multiple sports that could translate into football players.
Like, football is the one sport where they bring guys from a bunch of different sports.
Yep.
Like, you see it in basketball, the Eagles. Is it the Eagles that have
rugby?
Is it the Eagles or the Niners?
Niners had a rugby. They had a rugby play. They had a couple of rugby players.
Like he's a starter now.
Australian rugby. Niners had one.
Yeah, you see this all. You see him bring in track stars from time to time.
Yep.
4071. Yeah, and catching passes is for everyone. No sweat. Not saying that catching passes is easy, but what is an easier athletic accomplishment? Catching something or making a 3-pointer? What's more difficult?
It's the only thing that translates to making a 3-pointer and making tough shots in the NBA is when a quarterback's got to put a ball in a very, very tiny window from like 25 yards away.
Yeah, and that's like one position.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not talking about just one position. 23-4-1, you're not taking heart and toughness into consideration. This is a fair point, and I think that it would weed out a lot of basketball players. The toughness,
sure,
especially,
yeah, the ability,
and taking,
yep,
a hit and all of that. But let's not just act like every single basketball player is soft either. There's a lot of tough sons of guns that play in the NBA. Not all of them, but don't let the soft ones ruin it for everybody.
I think Tony Allen had the toughness to play football.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think the one thing, Jeremy, that you got to take into consideration too, because some people have said this in the past. Well, you know, the training and everything, the football players overtrained to get a physical body that if they had the time, they could thin it down to where they could be in NBA shape. That doesn't matter. That's great. They could be in NBA shape, right? They could lose the muscle. They could gain more endurance and lean down. That doesn't mean they can shoot the basketball or dribble it. That's a totally different – that's the conversation that we're making. That's the skill on top of the athleticism that would be tough, because it's one thing you say, oh, I was a football player in high school, but I was also all-state in basketball. I don't care what state you went, you played high school basketball in. It ain't even close to the NBA.
Jose Abreu also thinks that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do. This one, water polo is probably the toughest sport. How do they keep the horses from drowning? Grade the joke.
Oh, boy.
Grade the joke.
2.
That high?
Yeah.
It's like an 0-4 for me.
Joke is as old as John McClane, who was in the studio yesterday.
Maybe it's McClane.
Wow.
Maybe it's McClane texting in. This one says Jason Statham could play any sport.
Damn right.
I knew B-Mac must have
called co-sign that one.
How can the Astros take a page out of the 2005 Tombstone Astros? And one move that the Astros made not that long ago that I fear is going to be the move we look back on as the death sentence for the 24 Astros. If you have potholes in your driveway, your yard, your laydown yard, I mean, your truck parking, wherever the case may be, you want to get that dealt with. You want to fix that problem. You want to stop dealing with these annoying potholes. Are you tired of them? Of course you are. Whether it's a parking lot, a ranch road, a laydown yard, truck parking, whatever. We know how annoying potholes can be. Fix them, and fix them for good with Third Rock Renewables. Third Rock Renewables' patented technology called mechanical concrete is the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base that turns end-of-life tires into a virtually indestructible building product. Call Third Rock Renewables at 713-305-0507 to find out how mechanical concrete can cut your maintenance cost by 75% or more, while also lowering your carbon emissions. So you're saving green while you're going green. Also, if you mention ESPN 97.5, 20% off. So fix these potholes in your ranch road, your parking lot, truck parking. Fix them for good. Get 20% off when you mention ESPN 97.5, 713-305-0507, or thirdrockrenewables.com, thirdrockrenewables.com, to fix annoying potholes for good.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Astros in a moment. Let's take one more call on this. Marcus from Humble. You're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm a first time, long time. And I wanted to throw a name out there. He's actually a baseball player, but Mookie Betts. I've seen him bowl a 300, and he's played basketball. He's done a lot.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what he would do on the hardwood. I've never seen it personally. Here's a hot bowling take. I think bowling a 300 is one of the most overrated things ever. Ooh. When it comes to sports accomplishment, like we're talking like no hitters, we're talking about like the big things in their sport. You have a bunch of random dudes that can roll up that have bowled a 300.
Their skill to it?
No doubt. No doubt that their skill. But I'm talking about amongst amazing achievements, I think bowling a perfect game is like at the bottom.
Yeah, well, it's obviously different than like a perfect game in baseball and all that. And the fact that you can get guys in a Wednesday night beer league that can bowl a 300 game, that like, does diminish a lot of it.
Bowling a 300 or being good at golf?
I was going to ask you, what do you think you'd have a better chance of doing? Bowling 300 or hitting a hole-in-one on a par 3?
Depends on who you're asking. Like, if you're going with somebody who's, like, never done either?
Yeah, yeah. Let's say and skill, you're training skill set it, is even.
Well, hole-in-one, you can get lucky.
You can get lucky.
Hole-in-one, you could get lucky.
And that's kind of where I would go with it, because, like you said, it's one shot. You can just repeat it over and over again, whereas bowling, you could get 11 strikes into it, miss the 12th, and it's over. You got to start all over again.
Bowling at 300 would be harder.
I forget who said it recently. Yeah, it's one thing to have one lucky shot in golf that goes in the hole, but to be good at golf, even some of these guys we're talking about, some of the best athletes in all the sports in the world, said it's the one sport they almost wish they didn't pick up because it's so freaking hard to do.
The golf?
Yeah, golf.
That, I think the hole-in-one to me is just one, like, act of randomness. Like, I don't think that's a fair thing to compare to the bowling a perfect game. Because, yeah, one shot versus a series of shots.
Yeah, you have to perfect.
Yeah,
you have to throw 10 perfect strikes
12.
In bowling.
12.
12.
Or 12, right, with the 3 in the 10th frame. Yeah, look, I mean, there's skill involved, but when you get.
Sure.
It's one thing to say, hey, a guy bowled a perfect game at the bowling alley down the street last week, as opposed to going and throwing a no-hitter in baseball or doing things that were, you know, at a higher level, it's more challenging.
If you took a random guy, let's say his name's Joe George. We just took a random Joe George and you said, all right, Joe, you're going to do one of these things for the entire year. You're going to bowl every single day trying to master your craft, or you're going to be at the golf course every single day mastering your craft. Is it more likely by the end of the year that Joe bowls a perfect game or he has an under-round round of golf? Below par.
The bowling, easily.
I think it's the bowling.
Yeah.
I think it's the bowling.
Yeah, if it's a whole round of golf, I would go bowling. If it's just a hole-in-one, I would take the hole-in-one.
Yeah, like I know a bunch of...
I think he could get lucky on one if he practiced for the whole year.
But to Jeremy's point, even if you said by the end of the year you got to have a 260 average in bowling.
Yeah.
Or you got to be under par in golf, and even if your handicap doesn't do that, you just have to be able to shoot a round of golf under par. I still believe that it's easier to get a 260 average in bowling than it is to shoot under par golf.
I would agree. I think it's a harder sport. Plus, you have the randomness of golf. Like bowling, you're playing inside,
right?
The zero elements.
And all that. Yep.
Bad bounces. You really don't have to worry about that on the on the lanes. You know, it's usually truer. It's like fielding a ground ball on turf versus fielding a ground ball on a grass field. There's more elements that could come into play where a bounce on turf is truer.
Yep. Yep.
Like, yeah, so.
God forbid the grass gets watered down too much, right, Joel?
Well, yeah, then it's hard to even slide on it. Then it tips me off.
Think of the kids. They might break their leg. 713-780-ESPN.
You ever tried to keep your balance running full speed on a basketball court when a hydroculator pad is thrown at your feet?
Mm-mm. No.
Might be difficult.
No, I try not to run. I'm anti-exercise. I try to do as little of that as possible, especially at this age of my life. Shouldn't his name be Joe Dirt? That's not a very nice thing to say about Joe. What is a more impressive feat, a two-sport like Dion or Doc Ellis' famous no-hitter? Where Doc Ellis claimed he was on LSD.
Yeah.
Whenever he threw his no-hitter.
Did Doc Gooden also...
He was a very notable drug user.
Yeah, I don't know if he ever claimed to do anything, throw any big game under the influence.
Yeah, I don't think that he threw a big game under the influence. This guy says golf under par, 260 bowling average is insane. Pros don't average that high. One missed pin in a game and your high score potential is 279. I'm thinking more just one game.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking like an average. Bowling the 300 is easier. I know guys who are great at golf who, without a hole-in-one. That's why the hole-in-one's kind of lucky.
That's why you do it more for 18 holes to shoot under par, or even par. If you could shoot par, I think that's even challenging for a guy, even if you just have 1 year to practice.
This guy says Charles Barkley says he quit football because of the hitting. There's a lot of basketball players that would quit football because of the hitting. I've talked to basketball players that have quit football because of the hitting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about it from a Deshaun perspective, but your body adjusts to being hit on every play and taking the physical pounding. And, yeah, not everybody's cut out for that.
713-780-ESPN. All right, one final call on this. I lied to you. We'll do the Astros stuff tomorrow. They've been depressing. I kind of want a break from them anyways. Drew in Conroe, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just some food for thought. Zion Williamson has had a lot of success, and I don't think he's that skillful. I think he's just a big guy. So I think a lot of defensive ends like Myles Garrett would succeed in the league. What's your thought?
I disagree with that. I think that you're selling Zion very, very short. Zion Williamson, for his size and ability, for his size and strength-wise, and just his overall makeup, to be able to do the things that he does on a basketball court, and he can shoot the basketball, and he is skilled with his post moves, not to mention when he runs the floor and finishing on the break. Myles Garrett is athletic. Myles Garrett is strong, and he is physical. Making that translate to the NBA, that's on a different level that I don't think people appreciate enough.
I had a friend who played pickup ball with Myles Garrett at the rec, said he was overrated. Let me ask you this. Myles Garrett in the NBA, Zion Williamson in the NFL. Which of the two would be better?
Zion Williamson in the NFL.
I don't think there's any doubt. Brian, any you naysaying this at all?
No, I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't matter what position. I think he could excel at multiple positions. It's like thinking that, like, Glenn Big Baby Davis. Yeah, he was a good basketball player. I think he could have been an even better football player because for his athleticism and for his abilities to be able to, and he could put on weight like nobody's business, but that dude, I think he could play multiple positions in the NFL. But I think if you take offensive linemen or defensive linemen or tight ends and tell them to be above average NBA basketball players, few and far between, like the ones you mentioned.
I mean, I think a lot of the conversation, I think Austin Rivers missed the boat a little bit when he says all you have to do is run north and south.
I think he was trolling.
He was overgeneralizing, and I don't really take him seriously there, because obviously there is a lot of cutting in football, cutting side to side, quick starts and stops. But guess who does that all day long? NBA players. I mean, NBA players. Sure, a running back might do it, you know, once, then not get another carry for 5 minutes before he does it again. NBA players are doing that up and down the court all game long, 40 minutes a night in some cases. So I think the quick twitch side to side, stop and start that, you know, separates elite corners, elite wide receivers, we see NBA players do that constantly, all game long. So I think, yeah, they would definitely translate better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you talk about the endurance, the cardio endurance.
Yeah, that too.
What the NBA players have to do at that level. So of that level of speed and to maintain that speed and like you're talking about the change of directions and just to keep going. Yeah, that's a skill all in itself.
Everyone's saying that his body wouldn't hold up.
Who, Zion?
Yeah,
which I mean, is that's true. A fair argument.
Yeah, it is true. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What is the car wreck of the day? What are we voting car wreck of the day? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound today for the Astros in a matter of minutes. Coming up here pretty soon. Arrighetti's winless in his career, 0-3 with an 8.27 ERA. He goes toe-to-toe with Carlos Rodon. 2-2 with a 3.68 ERA. He's one of those volatile pitchers, Rodon, where I kind of feel like he's going to mow down the Astros. What are you expecting from Arrighetti?
Not much. I hate this.
Sounds like you're not throwing in the white towel.
I'm close. I think there's a good omen in the fact that Rodon likes to bump his gums at the Astros while he's pitching badly against them, and they've had success against him that I hope continues. But I wish someone else was on the mound for the Astros. I think Arrighetti gives you 5-5.
Ooh, I'll go. He needs to be better than that.
Yeah,
he needs to be better than that, but that's what I'm seeing.
He was pretty good in his last outing.
You're not facing a lineup like the Yankees.
I'll take the unknown over that.
I'll take the unknown myself.
I hope you're right.
His last outing against the Guards, 2 runs, 4 hits, 5 2/3. Walk 3, struck out 6. I hope it's
like 5 that. And 4.
I'm not going to let you move the goalpost. Like
okay,
that.
5 and 5.
Yeah, I'll take the unknown.
You're not going to
change
our
opinion. They're not going to win
good.
With 5 and 5.
I hope you're right and I'm wrong.
Soccer Matters coming up at 6. I'm sure he'll be all over the Champions League, Glenn Davis. Had some bangers of matches today in the Champions League. And the Hall of Fame coming up at 7. But first, let's get to our car wreck of the day. That was a quick pivot. Did you hear that? It's like a screeching halt. Like, eh.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me all you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are we nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blankers?
Well, it's pretty easy based on what we were just talking about. It's twofold for me. It's Justin Verlander giving up the most runs he's given up since he was a Tiger or ever. And it's the Astros' inability to get more than one hit for the first 7 innings.
Yeah.
It's a combo platter from hell, once again brought to you by your Houston Astros.
I want to give it to Joe Espada. Didn't have Lo Profeto in the lineup when you have a lefty pitching today. Didn't bring him up to sit the bench, yet he's sitting the bench back-to-back games. I don't have a problem sitting the bench tonight. But because you know who the scheduled starter is, you don't sit him on the bench yesterday. Using Seth Martinez when you're down by 9 runs instead of just throwing Brandon Belak until his arm falls off, / throwing a position player when you have the first game in 29 games of 30 days, I'm going to start nitpicking the heck out of Joe Espada, the most interesting manager in the world.
I'd like to throw in Ipe. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently he has been found guilty and could face up to 33 years in prison.
Ipe?
Yeah, yeah. The Shohei's interpreter. Yeah. Did I pronounce it wrong?
No, I just
no, I didn't know you were talking. I thought it was a soccer about. Player that
yeah,
I did.
So,
yeah, same. He's not like a... I know him as Shohei's interpreter.
Okay, I guess I should have started with Shohei's interpreter.
So he got 30 years?
Apparently he could face a maximum sentence of 33 years, and he's going to have to pay full restitution to Shohei, which is like $16.9 million, and $1.1 million to the IRS.
This is a good friend. Ipe's
a good
friend.
I still think that, too.
I need a friend like Ipe. Will you be my Ipe, Blankers?
No.
I need a friend like Ipe.
That could be Jeremy's fall guy?
No, I got a family. I got to stay out of prison.
So does Ipe. I don't know if he does. How about defending CFL MVP Chad Kelly, suspended 9 games in CFL on accusations that he made unwanted romantic advances and threatening comments to a former strength and conditioning assistant with the Toronto Argonauts.
I mean, is anyone really surprised?
This is the Chad same Kelly's dude that had all the issues in college,
yeah,
right?
He's been a scumbag the whole time.
Poor Jim Kelly. Chad Kelly's destroying his name.
Uncle Jim?
I think it's his nephew. Yeah. It's a good thing he's not his boy. That's good news, at least. Hey, I didn't know he was the MVP in the CFL, though. I think Bo Levi Mitchell won an MVP in the CFL once upon a time. This guy says Rashee Rice. It's a day late, dollar short. 3082. You might have seen this, Brian. I didn't see this. It happened yesterday, but I nominate Ric Flair for being drunk at a bar. Bartender cut him off, then Rick throws a tantrum because he can't drink anymore. There's video on X. I don't know what X is. I know Twitter is. What do you expect from Ric Flair? He's a swilling Dylan. Boot wearing, limousine riding, jet sitting, bar drinking son of a gun.
I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Yeah, what'd you expect from Ric Flair?
No, I've seen the video. I didn't want to include it just because, you know, it's embarrassing and I feel bad for Rick and I'm
really?
A fan. But yeah, he apparently got cut off. He's known to drink super, super heavy, got cut off and cut a promo on the bartender.
How many wonders in the world are there? Are we up to 8?
I Astro believe it's
was the
7 and
wonder the
world. Dome was 8, yeah.
Ric Flair is the 9th wonder of the world. The fact that Ric Flair, The fact that Ric Flair, at the age of 75 years old, is still alive. He
and
survived
relevant.
A plane crash. He survived being an alcoholic for years. The fact that Ric Flair is alive at 75 years old is the 9th wonder of the world.
Did you hear what happened in his last match that he just found out about? There's a story about this as well.
He has an unknown match.
So he had a match about, I think it was 2 years ago, and they billed it as Ric Flair's last match because he hadn't wrestled in like 10 years at that point. And he passes out. We already knew this because this happened 2 years ago. He passed out like 3 times during the match. Well, anyway, he went and got a round of tests because he's had heart problems, nearly died like 5 years ago. The doctor told him, oh, yeah, when you passed out 3 times, that was from a heart attack. It's amazing he's still alive.
He's the ninth wonder of the world. Have you seen the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
I have not, no.
Good movie.
I've heard it. He was up for a lot of Academy Awards, right?
It kind of reminds me of Ric Flair a little bit. But died in the ring. All right, what's going to win?
I mean, until further notice, it has to be, to me, it's the Astros.
You want to be the whole team or just Verlander?
At this point, why don't we stop singling people out and just call them a car wreck every night until they prove us different?
That's fair.
Astros, car wreck of the day. Congratulations. And you know, the good news about this, though, is the Astros actually won something. They haven't won in 4 days. They haven't won in 3 games. They're struggling. All right, maybe they'll get back on track tonight. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, up next on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.